Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Got Stitcher? We're on it. So get it. Stitcher is an award-winning provider of news and talk radio for your mobile phone. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Which WWE superstar is injured? Chris Sabin makes his return, and is NXT coming to United States TV soon? All this and much, much more on this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So John Cena is injured. What's going on with this, Aaron?
So early reports were saying that he was actually really injured to the point where he may have to drop the title. But we've got reports now saying that he's not as injured as people would like you to think, and that it's actually a little bit of theater, you know, coming out into reality. John Cena has hurt his Achilles, but it's not enough to make it so he cannot wrestle. We saw this past Monday that he was able to wrestle despite having an injury, at least do a few moves, you know. And, you know, you can't do that if you're actually injured. I don't expect him to do any house shows. I don't expect him to really do a whole lot on Raw. Maybe tag, maybe, you know, triple threats, things like that you might see him in. But I wouldn't see him in any one-on-one action.
And the other thing also is that they kept on saying he was injured. And Cena, the entire time on Raw, was stating that I'm hurt. I'm not injured. Which I thought was kind of interesting because, you know, he's not injured. Because if he was injured, he wouldn't wrestle. He's hurt. He still can go through with it. But I think they're playing this down a little bit. I think it might be a little bit more major because of course they have the week off now. I just wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't do anything whatsoever, but we'll see what happens. So The Undertaker, he may be at Extreme Rules. Now, is this definitely going to happen, or is he just going to be off till SummerSlam?
You know, right now it is, you know, we got to put this in the rumor mill pile. CM Punk's not there anymore. You know, John Cena's match against Ryback is not going to be a big match. Yeah, I don't care if it's for the WWE title or not. We're expecting maybe 10 minutes at the most. Ryback can't put on a long match. And John Cena, you can't expect him to carry you, technically speaking. So this match is not going to be a long match. This is going to be a 10-minute match. You know, you're going to have Brock and Triple H. That's going to be probably 20, 25-minute match. You're going to need some star power there. And not having The Undertaker, it would be a huge mistake. So I expect The Undertaker to be there at Extreme Rules.
And one thing we have to say good about what Undertaker did was he put the Shield over. So The WWE is pushing the Shield down our throats. And I can't believe I'm saying this, but I think Dean might be the star of them now, opposed to Tyler Black or Seth Rollins now. So CM Punk actually might be returning earlier than expected. Now, this is very interesting because they stated at first that he was going to have, you know, months off. If not even, he may not even come back till SummerSlam. But then all of a sudden, there was some stuff with him in the UFC. And do you think he's going to come back earlier than expected? Maybe to the Calgary show that they're going to have in May?
Yeah, that's what the speculation is now. And also, they have to have star power. Here's the biggest problem right now going on in the WWE. They don't have stars. And if your biggest stars right now are an injured John Cena, a part-time wrestler in Triple H, or a part-time wrestler in The Undertaker, even more part-time wrestler in The Undertaker, someone who wrestles on average once, twice a year, you know, you have to have somebody who is important. And, you know, CM Punk is a pretty important character right now for the WWE. And, you know, he really is the Macho Man to John Cena's Hulk Hogan. So I think that he will be returning pretty soon.
And that's the sad part, because CM Punk was not really a star until the whole Raw incident. But then all of a sudden, they're like, let's make some superstars. But they haven't, besides the Shield. So you have no faces or tweeners or heels, really, besides just the top guys, and that's it. It's kind of sad.
Unfortunately, the top is very thin. And when you think about it, You know, you have John Cena, you have Randy Orton, you have Sheamus, and those are really your top guys that are there on a consistent basis. And so for me, I don't understand why there's that second title. I really don't, because if you have those three people, maybe Alberto Del Rio you can throw in there as being a top guy. But Dolph Ziggler, and I love Dolph Ziggler, you can't say that he is, you know, one of the top tier people there right now. You know, people aren't really paying to see Dolph. Not yet. But, you know, I don't see it as being, you know, one of those star-studded people.
Now, one thing I'm really excited about right now is that NXT is going to be coming to the United States. I'm psyched about this because it's something simple. They already air it. It's taped. So all the basically all the episodes are done within a few days. And they'll tape sometimes up to five shows at a time. They're already aired everywhere but the United States. This is going to, I think, change certain things. You're going to see superstars from NXT come up a little bit faster because there are some people that can wrestle down there, Chris Hero being one of them. And I wouldn't be surprised if you see a bunch of guys come up all of a sudden and a bunch of guys go back down to the minor leagues.
I agree with you. I think it would be nice to see that. I didn't like NXT 1, 2, and 3. I just thought it was so dumb, you know, because it was a series of challenges. And we talked about how Daniel Bryan said you didn't see The Undertaker in a race, which I agree with him. But knowing that it's actually more of a developmental thing, but it has storylines to it, actually makes it interesting. And I know you watch NXT. You find ways to watch it. And
there
so.
Are ways.
And so for you, you know, you because you don't have a good way to see it normally, you have to go by alternative means. And so I think it'll be really nice that you'll be able to see it just normally, just like the rest of us, you know, pay to see commercials, you know, pretty much. And we'll be able to talk about it again on here, which I actually would be excited to do.
The thing is also, it's kind of a refresh because, like, you know, like when you look at TNA, what they're doing. And you're just like, okay, same stuff. And then WWE, same stuff. But then NXT throws like a different element into it that you're like, wow, because I really want to see the shows. Besides last week's show, they've been all good. Last week's show was a champions thing with Cesaro actually having the US title still, you know, which was funny because they put a disclaimer on it. But the show overall, I really dig. Now, one thing I did see just a few minutes ago, actually, they say that you can watch it on Hulu, but I haven't checked it out yet. But supposedly they actually offered it on there. But if they, you know, we'll figure that out some other time. But yeah, NXT, I cannot wait for this. So let's move on to WWE programming this week. So Caitlyn has a secret admirer.
Biggest news of the week, Andy.
Biggest news. All right.
Biggest news. Who do you think it is?
Sasha Banks. Oh, wait. No, they already did this angle down at NXT already with the secret admirer.
Was it actually Katie Vick?
It was Katie Vick. And, of course, Kane was like, I'd hit it. But, yeah, I think that what's going to happen is that this is going to lead to Big E becoming a face. Because I think it's Big E.
You know what it's going to do? You know what who it's going to probably end up being? Hornswoggle.
I was just going to say it's probably going to be something stupid like that. But I would not be surprised if they try to turn Big E face because he's a face in NXT. I just would be
interesting.
Yeah, he's a face and he has this gimmick where every guy has to go down to a five count, not a three count, but a five count, and the crowd digs it. I wouldn't be surprised if they end up bringing that basically that character into WWE. But there's something also that, you know, this is kind of one of those weird things with the secret admirer. How long is it going to play out because they have so many shows? But
it's stupid. It really is. But Andy, I got to ask you something. With the string of losses that Antonio Cesaro has had, is he in WWE's doghouse?
You know, I've been thinking about this for a while, and it actually brought up the thing with Big E. I think the only reason Kofi actually got the title was so he could drop it to Big E on Raw. I think for some reason, Big E and Kofi are going to have a match on Raw. And what's going to end up happening is that Big E's going to get the title. I think that's the real reasoning. But it could be that maybe the crowd's not really digging Cesaro, which is really weird because people liked him at NXT. He comes to the WWE, they push him down our throats, and people kind of dig him. But then it's like they don't do anything with him. There was nothing going on with him whatsoever. There was really no storyline.
Yeah, here is the biggest problem with the WWE. When you have a character and you really want to push them, you should probably put them in a high-profile feud. And he was feuding with The Miz, which was, in my opinion, is a very believable feud. And Miz was actually losing. He was putting over Cesaro, and I was okay with that. Former WWE champion, but still, I'm okay with it. My biggest beef was with Kofi. And I still think, because of what has happened, it still makes zero sense that Kofi just randomly wins the title. What they should have done, what would have been a smart move, and I'm going to broken record here, is Kofi wins a fatal four-way for the number one contendership and then beats Cesaro like the following week or the week after that. And that would have made more sense because it would have been like, oh, wow, I didn't know that that was going to happen, as opposed to a random match, Kofi wins the title. That title now is worthless. Not because Kofi isn't a good wrestler, because I like him, but the fact that there was zero buildup. If you randomly gave the title to Ryback, or not even Ryback, let's say Sheamus randomly wins the WWE title. That title, to me anyway, I'm going, what's the point? So anyone can win it just randomly? Who cares? So I do think that Cesaro's in the doghouse. I think that he did something to someone in management, and they're saying, look, I don't care if you have a big head or what, this is what we can do to you.
And also one thing, I know that Cesaro, it sounds like he is in the doghouse. I want to point out something with Kofi, what he's been doing differently in the matches. When he's getting trouble in Paradise, he'll do something, and when the guy's like stunned, he'll already start doing the move. And honestly, on Main Event, that was probably one of the best matches I've seen on Main Event. You know, I'd give it at least 3 stars. It was that good. Like, I was really happy with the match. And especially how it ended. It looked good. It was believable. You know, good job, Kofi, of course. Then Cesaro comes out, beats the crap out of him, and rips out one of his dreads. Ouch. Anyway, so the Shield is definitely going to be in the tag title hunt. Do you think they're going to do Wolfpack rules? You know, where one of the
Freebird rule, Wolfpack rules. Yeah. I imagine it's just gonna be the Shield, you know, holding the tag titles. And I think that it's okay. I actually don't like how they've made them as unstoppable as they have. You were talking about how they've been shoving them down our throats. I like Dean Ambrose. I like Seth Rollins. I can, you know, go without Roman Reigns. I mean, he'll be okay. I don't see him as being a main eventer necessarily. I think that Dean Ambrose will probably take that role out of the three. But I am getting a little sick of them winning every single match because there's no mystery there. And that's the thing that I don't like. I know that Dean lost to Undertaker a week ago on SmackDown. So that's good, and I'm happy for that, that it's at least showing that there's a little bit of weakness there. But, you know, the three of them, I wouldn't mind seeing them lose a match. I think that it would be a good thing to do.
No, they have lost matches, but they have not lost a high-profile match. That's the big key.
The three of them together?
Well, they've lost matches, but they're meaningless matches, if I'm correct.
I don't know. I think all three of them together have one, but I could be incorrect. I guess, but either way, the high profile ones. It's like with Ryback. You know, Ryback was winning every single freaking match. And if there's no mystery involved on Raw, on SmackDown, you know, at the pay-per-view, if you're watching it and you're like win, then it's not fun. You know, it's not fun for me. I don't think that's fun for viewers watching either.
No, and I will say, yeah, but it's also kind of nice that the Shield is getting thrown down, but I actually like the Shield for some reason. I like what they're doing. Now, Cena, he battles through his injury. They do the tag match. But what I didn't understand was he got pinned. Clean finish. Why would you take this, your big superstar, and have a clean finish? Why couldn't they do something where, I don't know, brass knuckles get pulled out real quick? You know, knock him down. He's down for the count. Instead, 1, 2, 3.
I was kind of surprised that he lost cleanly. Cena's not the type of guy that typically puts somebody over. You know, good for him for doing that. The only thing I don't like about the injury angle that they're doing, I don't think that there's any real way that Ryback could win the title at Extreme Rules. I don't. I'm not saying that it's 100% impossible. But I don't think that there's a logical way Ryback could win. So not only is John Cena able to overcome this monster of a wrestler. He's able to do it while he's injured. And so how are you going to tell me that at Payback that he's going to be able to take out X person, or he's going to go up against X person, and who knows who's going to win? It's like, well, you just beat Ryback while you were injured. Of course you're going to win. There's no way you're not going to win. So I think that's the biggest problem with the injury angle.
Now, I'm wondering if they're actually going to do some type of DQ, or somehow Ryback gets DQ'd and hurts him more and more and more. So then Cena gets some payback in June.
You know, it might be. We talked about it before that we think that Ryback losing the match will really hurt his character. So if you have him win or lose by DQ, that's probably the best thing to do. Mm-hmm. And I think that probably is still the case. The thing that's kind of crazy to think about is that what Extreme Rules is still like 2-3 weeks away. And it's, I hate to say it, but for WWE, it's like, man, dude, when's the next pay-per-view? Kind of waiting to finally see what's going to happen, because every Raw, every SmackDown, every main event, every Saturday Morning Slam is all leading up to their pay-per-view. And so I just feel like this stuff, I feel like it's been going on for too long. And that's the thing that sucks.
Do you even care about the Del Rio angle that's going on?
It's interesting, but I mean, I don't care that much.
I don't, but I think it's interesting how it's being played out. That's the, I guess I'm intrigued. Like,
I'm glad that there's more than just one person saying I should have the title.
Exactly.
Instead, it's three people who are saying, I want the title, I want the title, I want the title. Which is the way that it should be. Every person in the company should be saying, I want that title. I want that. I want that. And the only way that the mid-card titles right now should even be a factor in a feud should be, you know what? I know that you cherish that, and I want to take it away from you because you don't deserve that. That's what I would rather see right now, but it's not.
Anything with Sheamus, Mark Henry? Do we even care?
Let's move on to our sponsor.
HostGator, are you a blogger, a podcaster, or are you just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and hands down the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code off the mark, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite. Every web host costs. Also, check out Section 86 Off the Mark page. You're going to see some awesome deals from WWE Shop. And just click on that banner. Use WWE Save 10, and you'll save $10 if you spend more than $70. And check out highspots.com. Let's move on to Impact Wrestling this week. So Chris Sabin makes his return to the X Division in a three-way match. In a great match. And what do you think about this, Aaron?
I'm glad to see him back. I kind of like the new little gimmick that they have going for him. I'm really glad that they had the little vignette that they showed last week. It actually got me really excited for this week's show. And I was kind of surprised about that. I was like, wow, I actually liked Alex Shelley a little bit more, but I was pretty excited to see Chris Sabin. And of course he wins his return match, which means that he's put into the next X Division match, which I guess will happen in probably another 2 weeks, because they put it every 2 weeks for the X Division, which don't get me started on that. But it is really cool to see him back and see what he brings back to that division. And I think that he should win. He really should win that. You know, look, Petey Williams, I was really happy to see him, and I hope that he becomes more of a mainstay there. You know, Petey Williams with Chris Sabin, and then you add Zema Ion, you add Kenny King. It makes the X Division a lot more credible than what it has been in the past 6 months.
Yes, Kid Cash. Also, do you really think it? I mean, they said it's been 2 years since he's been on TV. It doesn't seem like it's been 2 years, because they said it happened 2011. But
Well, he got his first injury, and then he came back, and then like his first match, he injured his other leg.
That's right. Okay.
So it was basically 2 years since he's been there full time. Which, of course, that's just a horrible, horrible setback.
And one thing also that I wanted to point out real quick, I actually was reading in the Observer that some of the gut check contestants have not been paid still, which I thought was really interesting. And so when you hear that, you think money problems, but I'm almost thinking that the check was sent, you should probably check your P.O. box that's in New York, and you're probably in Ohio. So that's what
you know, the other thing, too, is who gives a crap about the gut check contestants? The only one that has done anything, the only one is what's-his-face, who's a member of the Aces and Eights now, you know, Briscoe. He's the only one who was part of gut check.
Who's the guy from WWE that you can't stand with the dreads?
I can't think Christian of York?
Yeah, Christian York.
Was he a gut check?
Yes, he was.
He was? Oh, yeah. Okay.
So that's two, but that's it. There's no other gut
check. It's not that I can't stand Christian York. I don't mind him, but he's just, I don't think he's anything like special.
No, but he's a decent wrestler, but yeah, I mean, like, he's not going to be a main eventer, but it's kind of interesting because he has some decent matches. Got to give him credit on that. You know, the indie scene has made him a better wrestler. So the tag title number one contender match has been announced. And who is it, Aaron?
We have Bad Influence and the Dirty Dirty, I guess you would call them. I don't know. The Austin Aries and Robert Roode. Why do you have two heel tag teams wrestling each other?
Who could be more heel than the other? Because I really think that Bad Influence, I don't think they're heel anymore. I think they're more tweeners. Because the crowd digs them, but they bash the crowd, but then everyone's like, what are they going to do this week? That's the one thing on that's been on Impact Wrestling that I really dig. I'm like, all right, what are they going to do this week? That's what I keep thinking. And I find it funny.
I do agree with you. I think Christopher Daniels and Kaz have been just hilarious. That they've been, you know, like how Santonio's a joke character and Hornswoggle is for WWE. They are kind of joke characters. Like, they make you laugh. You know, they're the fun, loving people. They call Hogan Thunderlips, for crying out loud. They are really entertaining to watch. And they're good wrestlers. And honestly, them winning the titles, they're very legitimate wrestlers. That when Daniels was wrestling Jeff Hardy for the TNA title, I could have seen Daniels winning that and feeling that it would still be legitimate. You know, they're not joke characters in the sense that they don't deserve to win anything. They're just really entertaining. So I agree with you wholeheartedly. I definitely like seeing them in the ring with the mic or, you know, wrestling.
I really hope they get the TV title and make a joke of it, because it is a joke no matter how you look at it. And I think it would be funny if they had it and they just kind of like made a joke of it. They could do something.
Well, they do want to become the you know, world tag team champions of the world again. You know, they're just really looking to capture that world gold world.
Mm-hmm. And one thing I thought, I actually saw something also, the big rumor mill. Do you really think that Hogan's going to wrestle again? And he's going to wrestle a Bully Ray?
I don't think so. He is. Look, there's a point in time where you go, not only are my best years behind me, but they are so far in the rearview mirror right now. I'm at mile marker 20, and I left them back at mile marker 1. And that's where it's at. If Hogan and Bully have a match, it's what's that really going to do? You know, what is it going to do? 10 years ago when he wrestled Triple H and won the WWE title, which was like a, wow, that's kind of crazy. Even then, he wasn't in the best of shape. You know, so him winning that title, I was like, that's, you know what, you're just trying to grab headlines or something? You know, it's kind of like Rock winning it, you know, most recently. I don't know. I think that it would be really dumb. But the other thing, Andy, I wanted to mention.
Oh, the fact that Matt Morgan lost to Sting?
Yeah.
Come on. Sting comes back. Okay, I know Sting's a big character, but Matt Morgan, I was digging what happened last week. I was like, all right, Matt Morgan. You know, because I figured Matt Morgan would take Hogan's place, and then he'd face him, you know, at Slammiversary. Guess who screwed everything up? That's right. Sting is now going to face Bully Ray. Of course, Bully Ray's going to win. Unless they're setting something up where Morgan gets the next opportunity. If that's what they're setting up, okay, fine. I can see that, because then Bully's he's a champion a lot longer. He's not a joke champion. He's not a paper champion. He has it for an extended period of time.
So Sting versus Bully, yes, Bully will win. This will help legitimize Bully a little bit more, right? But here's my issue with it. If you're only running 4 pay-per-views a year, that means that each match needs to be huge. It needs to be a monumental main event, and all the other matches need to be really, really good and solid matches. And Sting versus Bully Ray, I'm not saying it's a bad match, but when you have other options there on the table, Matt Morgan being one of them, then you have no choice but to say Matt Morgan should be the man who takes on Bully Ray. He is a big guy, and to watch those two wrestle, I'm not saying it would be like an amazing match, but the buildup to it would be really good, and the friction between Hogan and Morgan and Bully would be even better.
I think that's what they're going to do. I think Sting's going to face him with like Morgan in his corner. Bully gets put over. Morgan gets ticked off, starts beating up Aces and Eights. And maybe he says, I'm TNA. I'm going to stay TNA and fight the Aces and Eights. If he beats Bully for the title, Matt Morgan is a superstar. He is the number one guy in TNA then, if they do this right. And he could be almost unstoppable. And then maybe 6 months later at one of their pay-per-views, he somehow gets his, you know, Ace and Eights, you know, somehow gets pushed away. But then he faces someone and loses. And that person also could be part of Ace and Eights or something like that. But this, I'm actually kind of digging this, but I'm wondering if it's going to be long-term. I guess that's something that we'll, you know, we'll see in about 6 months. Did they do this properly? Because I think it can be done properly with Matt Morgan. I really, really do.
Yeah, I, you know, and I hope that it is. I like Matt Morgan. I know that a lot of people don't. I know that people are like, oh, you know, he's just a big guy. He's not that special. I actually dig him. I think that he has a good look. I think that he's pretty good on the mic. He's okay in the ring. And, you know, I think that, you know, putting him for the world title just makes the most sense. So, but Andy, weekly topic time.
One thing I want to talk about right before we get into the weekly topic. I completely forgot about it till just now. What do you think about Fandango? He's not using the leg drop anymore off the top rope. He's going to the Chris Canyon flatliner.
Well, and then they changed it again. He just did a Russian leg sweep.
Oh, wait. Brian Armstrong?
Yeah. My feeling is they don't know exactly what they want to do for an impact finisher, and so they're just testing the waters right now. I like the flatliner. I've always loved the flatliner. I've always thought it was a great move, and I think that that's what would be a really good either setup move or, you know, have that be his normal finisher, have the leg drop be a special finisher. You know, you can do that. I don't know. Look, Fandango, we can probably talk about him for the next 20 minutes. So I purposefully left him off the dock because I figure we'll probably be talking about him next week.
One thing also talking about the flatliner, there's one wrestler I always wish would do the flatliner before he did his finishing move. That's Randy Orton. Don't know why, but for some reason I can picture him grabbing the guy doing the flatliner, you know, and have that for like either setup or a special finish.
Fandango is the Tim Tebow of wrestling.
All right, so let's go into my favorite theme songs for all wrestling shows. Oops.
And so you're talking about Raws, Nitros, main events.
I'm talking about every single show. And actually, some of them, I have a guy on there twice who wrote a couple songs, but that's just how it is. There's no particular order in this. I just picked the I couldn't figure out which one was the best. That was my problem.
Really? You know what your problem is?
What?
You're not good at making decisions.
I hate
you're indecisive. You have to make decisions. And don't even give me this BS that it's like, well, it's a top five, but there are 10 honorary mentions.
Okay, it's not a top five, it's just a top 10 that I really like.
Okay.
All right,
okay.
And this is going back a little bit. So I'm going to start with To Be Loved by Papa Roach. That was a Raw theme song for a while. Kind of dug
it. And I just want to be loved. Yep.
And of course, SmackDown, which I think is the best SmackDown theme or second best theme they've done for SmackDown. And that is The Beautiful People, the Beautiful People.
Oh,
I like that one. Don't know why, but I really dug it. The other one was when WWF, their Attitude Era theme, it's by Jim Johnston. It's We're All Together Now. I really like that song. Of course, SmackDown theme song that I really dug, Know Your Enemy by Green Day, because I'm a Green Day fan. But I also thought it was during that time frame, it was a good theme. Of course, you got to throw in the WCW Nitro theme. Every time I hear it, I just want to hear Tony Schiavone say, "And we're live!" I always dug that one. Of course, the next one we got to talk about is the ECW theme. As soon as you hear Extreme, you know what it is. The next one also that I like is the NXT theme song. It's a song by Coheed and Cambria. It's called Welcome Home. I don't like the song overall, but it's just one of those things. I do.
As a theme song for a show, though, you like.
Yeah. Yes, I like it. Then also, Main Event's theme song is actually a song by Shinedown. It's called Diamond Eyes. Realistically, that might be my favorite one. If I had to choose number one, that might be the number one. Of course, I also like Superstar's theme. It's called Invincible. I think it's a Dallas Way. I think it's the name of the band, if I'm correct. And of course, running out the 10th song, I really like the WWE Raw theme song that's right now. It's Tonight is the Night. I dig that song too.
No Nickelback on there for you?
I did not put Nickelback on there because I can't stand Nickelback. And they're not that good of a band. And
I thought that you were a closet Nickelback fan. Don't you like Chris Kroeger?
I don't like Nickelback.
Really? Is that why on your iPod you have Nickelback on there?
I don't have Nickelback on my iPod.
Yes, you do. I put it on there.
Not cool, dude. Not cool. So is there any theme song that maybe I missed or what do you think?
I like Raw's in the late 90s, 2000s. I don't know if that one was on there.
That's We're All Together Now. That's the Jim Johnson thing. Okay. Yeah. The Attitude Era.
Let's get it on. Move to the music. Play that funky music. That song?
I think that, yeah, if I'm correct, that's We're All Together Now. But yeah.
That one I think was probably Raw's best one. Mm-hmm. Nitro's is, in my opinion, just insanely classic. It'd be hard for me to choose. I would probably say, the Raw in the 90s or Nitro's, which, I mean, obviously shows you where my roots are.
Beautiful people.
I don't care for. That one was okay. I don't like Green Day's Know Your Enemy for SmackDown theme. I actually really dislike it.
Really?
Anyway, but good list, though. I like it. Although, Andy, I got to say, I would have much rather heard it in an order that I could disagree with.
Oh, jeez. Well, next time I put up a list that's supposed to be a top five and it comes to top 10, I'll make sure I have it in the exact order that it's supposed to be in. Oh, so if you guys don't agree with me or anything, or you have your opinion, just hit us on the Twitter, OffTheMark86. Anyway, so that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at OffTheMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast, and I want to thank all of the listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.